All right, we are back and ready to roll. Speaker's ready to go here. Once again, thanks for coming. As you, most of you probably know, we do this monthly and try to bring in a speaker to benefit the community each month, and it's been great. Next speaker's name is Greg Fondell. He's the chaplain over at Douglas Machine, and he's going to be sharing with us how things work over there and how God has used him in a mighty way. And if you are unfamiliar with Unity Foundation or you're not on our mailing list, you'd like to be, at the table by the front door, there's a sign-up sheet. And we'd like you to get on there. We don't sell your information. We don't share it with any other organization. But it's a way for us to get the word out without costing us a lot of money in postage and stuff like that. So please sign up if you're not on our list. And also, each one of these events is on our website. And so you guys can go to the website, which is on the pen at each table. So if you see the pens at your table, our website is on there. You can go there and hear today's message, probably next week sometime. Otherwise, each message the past 6 months at least is on there, and you can listen to that freely through the website. So feel free to go there. And last, many of you have probably heard about Chris Michelson and Salvation USA. He's going to be doing a big crusade here in August, the beginning of August. And great guy, grew up in Osakis and is going to be sharing with the community over a two-day period. And I want you guys to take a look at that. There's flyers over by the door, and that's going to be a great event that you guys can bring your friends and family to and just be sharing the message. He reminds me a lot of a young Billy Graham, if you're familiar with Billy Graham. So, great guy. I know him personally. Love the guy. So, that'd be great to be a part of. I am pleased to announce Patsy. She is a great friend of mine. She goes by Patricia. I call her Patsy with love.
Okay.
But it's been fun to get to know her the past few years. She's become a friend of my family, my mother. She's been a mentor to my brother and now his wife. But she's also done several amazing things in the community, especially with Canute Nelson. So that's all I'm going to say. I'm just going to let you tell your story, and it is fantastic. Please welcome Patsy Bagley.
Thank you. Well, I like to have folks sing along, so just to start us off, repeat after me. This, wrong key. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Together, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. Well, I want to thank the Unity Foundation for asking me. I was just about floored because I've sat where you sat, and when they bring people in, I'm always in awe and kind of refreshed and filled, and then here just little old me gets asked, so I'm just honored to be here. And I want to give a shout out to my Canute Nelson brothers and sisters who live there and work there. You've been great, and it's just nice to have you here today, and you've touched my life in many ways. I want you just to turn to your neighbor really quickly and tell them, what do you reach for when something's broken and needs patching or fixing? Just tell them real quick, just for a second. What do you reach for when you fix something that's broken? Yep, we all got our favorites, don't we? How many had duct tape on there? Yeah. All right. Oh, you have got a lot of other things. That's good too. Well, I wanted to tell you a story about something that I was given and then it was broken. My mother-in-law, who is no longer with us, but had this great artistic gift of painting. She learned in her later years to china paint. She got so good and so excited about it, she bought her own kiln. And one Christmas, they lived in Oregon, and we live here in Minnesota. We used to live up in Deer River and East Bethel and many different places in Minnesota, Tyler, Minnesota, Comfrey, Minnesota. We've been all over the state, it seems like, over the years. And one year we got this beautiful picture in the mail for Christmas, and we opened it up, and she had graduated. Let me show it to you. She had graduated to Gold Leaf. Gold Leaf, and there's berries on there and everything. And I didn't know where in the world was I going to put that picture to make it stand out and beautiful, especially if they were going to come visit. You know, you want to have your mother-in-law's special gift on the wall. So I found a nice shelf, put it on the shelf, right in the dining room, you know, it's like in a dining room, and didn't realize I put it on the same wall that the sliding glass doors are on. And slammed the glass door shut one day, boom, this thing fell over, and the whole lip of it cracked and broke. But my husband takes after his mother, and he knew I was just devastated and mortified, and I wasn't going to tell her. So he said, I'll fix it. So he got some special ceramic glue and paints, and you really, from back there, you can't even see that it was ever broken. But later, if you want to come up and look, there's all kind of cracks in this picture. But you can't see it too much, so I thought, well, we put it up on the shelf. If Mom comes, we'll never have to tell her. But guilt was just eating at me terrible. So finally, I believe it was probably four to 6 months later, she's calling me on the phone, and I just had to do it. I said, Mom, you know that picture you sent us? It broke. But Tim glued it together, but I thought, oh, she's going to yell at me because I know how long it takes. Because you buy a white picture, she'd showed me how she does it. You buy a white one, and then you add layer and layer, and you fire it, and you fire it, and you go through this whole process. So but she didn't say much. She just, I think, said something like, oh, things happen like that or something. Well, that was a blessing for me that I didn't have to be ousted by her. But speaking of broken things, about 18 years ago, my whole life broke apart, life as I knew it. Up till then, hey, my life was pretty normal. I had my highs, my lows, like everybody else. And then, you know, it was a pretty good life. I had a lot of cracks inside, I thought, you know, and things, flaws I didn't like about myself, and I knew I wasn't perfect, but hey, I could put on a front really well, you know. It looked like my whole life was together. And I'll tell you, though, then this day happened that was an ordinary day. We got up on Sunday morning and did our usuals. We're both pastors, my husband and I, and made the coffee, read the paper, did whatever we needed to do, had our services, ate at a member's home. And then on the way home, we kind of heard that there's supposed to be maybe some weather, supposed to snow up north like Alexandria area that day. And then it was sunny and blue before that. So went home, and we thought this was going to be one of the biggest days, one of the nice biggest events of the church we were going to do. We'd been to the Holy Land in January, and this was March 29, 1998, and I was going to show the slides from the Holy Land. So I went over to the church to do that. My husband went downtown in the little town of Comfrey to be at Lena Ferdine's visitation, and we were going to tag team it. So I was home with our daughter. She was upstairs sleeping. And finally, it looked a little darker outside, and we didn't have a radio or a TV on. We didn't pay attention to that. And I said, you know, if you hear the siren, go in the basement. And then I went on up to the funeral home so my husband could come home, and I'd go stay up there. Well, let me tell you in a song how that day went. Too early one spring at the end of March, our town was quiet. But some had escaped to their family and friends. The weekend they wanted to fill. The bookish's 40th was in a full swing. On Main Street and Memorial Hall. And the family of Lena were saying goodbye. The memories sweet to recall. When across the plains of the white prairie, a black cloud came a rumbling round. It was pitching and rumbling, black as the night, coming towards our little town. The sirens blew, it was seconds to run. We scrambled to be safe and sound. In the thick of the storm, though we felt so alone, angels were hovering round. The wind was a-howling, steeples were falling, and the buildings came a-tumbling down. When it was over, we looked out to sea. Destruction was all around. We ran door to door to see who had died. We listened for whimpers and cries. Though many were bruised and battered and torn, everyone still was alive. Then 2 weeks later on Easter morn, the message was shouted again. Jesus is risen, he makes all things new. Humphrey will rise again. Humphrey will rise again. And Humphrey did rise again. I used to, now I call my life like before the tornado and after the tornado, because it changed my whole life. We were safe in the basement. I'd gotten home, my husband, the sirens did go, and here's an unusual story. When I got up to the funeral home to trade with my husband, he headed home, and we'd kind of been hearing rumblings, maybe the weather was kind of bad, so he said he'd go. And then the oldest son of the person who had died said, "You know what? I got a story I want you to put in the message tomorrow at Ma's funeral." He said, "You know, she lived through a tornado at one time, and here was a rooster that she found after the tornado had passed with no feathers, and it was just a crowing. And you think you could work that in?" Whoa! In seconds, the siren went off after he told me that. The siren went off. And my car was parked out front. I ran to my car, gunned it, because I wanted to be home with my family. That's all I could think. I gunned it to about a block and a half, pulled in the driveway, ran to the door. The wind is just whipping and everything. And I yell, "Where are you?" And they go, "We're in the basement under the stairs." So I ran down. There's my husband, my daughter, and our little dog. And no longer got under the stairs. And boom, crash. Everything started blowing and falling, and we didn't know what was going on. We couldn't see. And I remember I was just a praying to the Lord, and I think I must have been praying in Southern, because when you are nervous and excited, you go back to your mother tongue, and I'm from Missouri. So there it was. I was just a praying, and I'm sure we all were praying, and nobody died in that storm, but it was terrible. My husband went up the stairs first. He said, "You all stay here. We don't know what we're going to see." I was sure that our house was all demolished. And he went up, and all we could hear was him saying, "Oh, no, oh, no, oh, no." And we said, "What's going on? What's going on?" Well, he couldn't say anything. So we come up, we said, "We're coming up, we're coming up." And we went upstairs, and there was everything destroyed. And people tell us later that it looked like a bomb hit Comfrey. And we were right next to the church. We were in a parsonage. All the bricks had fallen down and blocked our back door. The tall, tall steeple you could see for miles in the prairie was jammed into our front yard. Later, people tried to dig that out because there was a special cross at the top. They got down 8 feet and gave it up. But anyway, I mean, it was a terrible tornado. Our house was there, but it was chewed up. We had to fix it. The downtown had been destroyed. The churches we were serving then, my husband and I as pastors, we're all broken up, and you know, when I came up and looked out there, we were across from the school, and thank God it was Sunday. at like 4:30 because the school had, it was an old school, it had fallen down, and the little kids, I remember the kindergartens were on the bottom level. Thank God they weren't there. But here I was, a pastor trained to help people and all this stuff, and I tell you, I felt like I was standing there with a band-aid. Now, how are you going to fix all of that? When you see it all right there. You can't even absorb it all. You feel like you're in a movie or something. This didn't happen. I remember after we got back in our house, we all had to be evacuated because the anhydrous tank started leaking. When we finally got back into our home to clean it up and so forth, I would get up in the morning and I'd go to that back door window, that first window I looked out, and I would pull that drape back every day. And finally, I realized what I was doing. I wanted to pull that drape back one day and see everything back to normal. But it was never going to be. It was never going to be. So I've been writing songs for a long time, and I just never, ever thought anything much of it. I didn't really share that many with that many people. And, well, I wasn't Amy Grant, and I wasn't Jose Feliciano, if you're old enough to know those people. So I had all these fears and anxieties about putting myself out there, kind of like this picture. So I would just, you know, cover up all my cracks and hurts and all my things I didn't think were very good. But after the tornado, you know what? I was just so broken down that I say I think the Lord finally broke me open. Because I could, there was nothing to hide behind anymore. Everything had blown away. You know, I used to tell people when my house was a mess, I'd have, oh, my house looks like a tornado hit it. Well, then I could really say it. You know, my house has been hit by a tornado. So. But, you know, when things like that happen in our lives, tough stuff, disasters, trials, tribulations, whether they're natural ones or man-made ones, people like to tell each other, be strong, hang in there, have courage. That's the advice we want to give to folks. And, you know, that's in... We can even find this here in Psalm 31:24, where it says, be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord. Doesn't that sound like, now buck it up. Hold on everything together. Don't let anybody see how bad you're hurting inside. But I want to tell you, even though King David, wonderful, powerful, strong King David, wrote those words earlier in that same chapter, he said this in verse 9. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I'm in distress. My eye wastes away from grief, my soul and body also. My life is spent with sorrow, my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my misery, and my bones waste away. I'm the scorn of all my adversaries, a horror to my neighbors, an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I passed out of mind like one who's dead. I become like a broken vessel. For I hear the whispering of many, terror all around as they scheme together against me, and they plot to take my life. Doesn't sound like he was very strong there to me. He was also a person with troubles and trials and weakness. But you know, it's when we go through those times, the trials, the sorrows, the losses, the pains, our fears, our weaknesses, we just learn to let go and let God. Sometimes we just have to, because like us who went through the tornado, that's all we could do. We had nothing left to do. And David, too, learned that in verse, he goes on in verse 14 and 15. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and persecutors. What I have learned is that through the cracks that we try so desperately to cover and hide, that's where God shines most brightly. Because then we are weak and God is strong. We have to say, God did it. I had nothing to do with it. Kind of like me coming up here to Alexandria and Knute Nelson. I tell you, we had left Minnesota and moved back to Missouri, and I had said, goodbye, snow and northern Minnesota. And then we were in Missouri, and, well, things didn't go so well down there, and we were in a real low time in our lives again. And in fact, anyway, we came up. I remember finally getting ready to go wherever God wanted, and I prayed, Lord, you can take me, send me anywhere but not Africa. And God has a funny sense of humor. He sent me to farther north in Minnesota than I've ever been. But I love it here, you guys. I love Alexandria. I do. I really do. So I tell people, even though the tornado broke me down, it broke me open. So it breaks you open for God to do things in your life, for God to be the one that directs you, for God to bless you and bless others through you. It amazes me. The tornado was a destroying wind, but God sent in the healing wind of the Spirit. I wrote a little song about the healing wind. Healing wind blow over me, healing wind, dancing and free. Dance over me, set my spirit free, bring healing hope and harmony, healing spirit, renew my soul, healing spirit, make me whole. Blow, spirit, blow, set my spirit free, bring healing hope and harmony, dancing and free. Dance over me, healing spirit, renew my soul, healing spirit, make me whole. Blow, spirit, blow, Spirit blew and blew and blew, and he blew through me to write that song about the tornado, and I just was going to sing it once or for myself, and then the people started saying, would you record that? And I said, what? I'm not Amy Grant or Jose Feliciano. But they kept asking and kept asking, and local towns started asking me to come and share the tornado story and sing my songs. And after one of the presentations, a lady came up and said, aren't you going to record that? And I said, well, I don't have any money. I don't know how to do it. And she said, you got to get that recorded. Well, about a week later, I couldn't believe it. I was working as chaplain down in Springfield. This lady, I hardly knew her, but she walks up and hands me an envelope. She says, here, go record those songs. She said, you need to. She said, my husband has passed, and I get these checks all the time. I don't know what to do with them. So she said, here. Well, I said, thank you. Well, I figured she probably wanted something in return. No, she didn't even want to. No, I didn't have to get her name or address or nothing. She just wanted to hand it to me. And I looked later, $4,000 check. Is that enough? God, I had prayed to God. I said, if you want this recorded, you got to do something because I have no way to do anything. Well, there it was. So I had enough, and then this guy came to town who was interested in people recovering from disasters, Jim Gamboni, and he said, well, I could produce you. He said, I've done a little bit with TV and radio, and so he helped me figure out how to do a tape first. I did a little tape of the Comfrey Tornado song and a Cradle Me in Your Arms song that people liked, and then I sold enough of those, and then God kept giving me songs, like at the end of the first year anniversary of the tornado, I was thinking a year later, as I was driving one day to Minneapolis, I thought, you know what? I looked at the prairie. We were down there on the prairie, And I thought, I've heard stories about those pioneers that all their crops burned, or they lived through all these terrible snowstorms, or they lived through this and that. And how did they survive? And then I thought, well, we survived, and some of them did too. So I wrote a song about we survived. I'd like to share for you. It's been 1 year since the date that the winds have changed our fate. And at times I take a moment to recall. As I close my eyes, I see the way things used to be. And a tear wells up and down my cheek, it falls. We've survived, we're alive, and there's hope for tomorrow. And the Spirit's wind will blow us on our way. We've survived, we're alive, and there's hope for tomorrow. Hope that says there'll be a brighter day. As I see the evening star, makes me wonder just how far the winds of sorrow, grief, and pain have blown along. And all the souls that have been tried, that also hurt down deep inside, were they healed and did they also sing this song? We've survived, we're alive, and there's hope for tomorrow, and the Spirit's wind will blow us on our way. We've survived, we're alive, and there's hope for tomorrow, hope that says there'll be a brighter day. Now as I face the rising sun, I know that healing has begun. And no matter what the problems of the day, as I take your hand in mine, every mountain we will climb, and the Lord will shine His light and show the way. We've survived, we're alive, and there's hope for tomorrow, and the Spirit's wind will blow us on our way. Survived, we're alive, and there's hope for tomorrow. Hope that says there'll be a brighter day. Hope that says there'll be a brighter day. You know, we survive. We do. We survive with the Lord. We survive with what God gives us. Many people came from miles around to help us recover. God sends people, community, to help you when you're in a tough spot. He doesn't leave you alone. And God is never done with us. And we're always continuing healing from the hard things of life. He brought healing and patching to my life and seems to just keep giving me people and friends and songs to share. So I guess I'll just keep writing those songs and making some CDs. I had a privilege here to work with Keith Martinson and make another one with some songs God's given me. But I just know that everybody's got a story. We look like this to each other. I know. We're all put together. We think, oh, look at those guys, how together they are. But you know, we've all had our troubles, our trials, our sorrows. And God sometimes uses them to draw us closer to Himself and open us up to the movement of His Spirit. You know a powerful prayer to pray when you wake up? Lord, use me as your vessel today. Let your will be done in me. And guess what? You better hang on, because you never know where God's going to take you. And although God sees His people broken sometimes, He doesn't leave them there. He gives us the promise. And He is faithful. The promise that He'll be there always. I'm with you always. You know, He's seen us, His people, broken since Adam and Eve. You know, they broke the relationship with Him. And then down through the ages, He finally had to send His own Son to be broken on the cross. And it was through His death and resurrection that all people can be drawn back in a relationship with the Father. Because not only was he broken on the cross for us, but he is risen with healing in his wings. And he's beckoning you and me to come to him for peace, for wholeness, for healing. In fact, if you hear this song as him singing it to you, when your life is full of changes and your way seems dark and drear, you can see no silver lining and your heart is filled with fear, come to me, come to me, come to me and be healed. Come to me, come to me, come to me and be healed. When the darkness comes too early and the chill sets in your bones and you've lost so much in this old world, you're feeling all alone, come to me, come to me, come to me and be healed. Come to me, come to me, come to me and be healed. He says, I will touch you in the morning, I will touch you in the night, I will touch you where you hurt the most, make everything all right. Come to me, come to me, come to me and be healed. Come to me, come to me, come to me. You see, King David could say that last verse after he'd been through all of that, what I read to you earlier, that he could say after he'd done that and cried out his heart. He said, be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord. We can do that because we know the Lord is faithful. I want to tell you one more story today about Comfrey. There was a man in Comfrey named Bob Samuelson, and he had a hog farm. And that day of the tornado, he was one of the unfortunates that we didn't lose anybody that day, but he was blown around his farm, and because his hogs were there and so forth, all that stuff from the hogs, he was cut up and the stuff went into his wounds, and he was very, very, very ill. They took him to Mayo and put him in a coma-induced state for a while because the infections had to be cleared and cleaned. And he was one of those nice farmers, one of those nice ones. Everybody in Comfrey likes Bob Samuelson. Some of you from Comfrey know we all like Bob. Well, he was there for all of us were busy little beavers getting that town looking good because the next year was going to be our 100th anniversary, and we wanted to look really good for everybody. And we did. We did get it together for the year after, but Bob was down in the Mayo Clinic, and he didn't know what was going on. He had nothing to do. So he finally got home, and he got home before Thanksgiving, and the people of the town asked him to give the message, and he had to limp down the aisle because he had still recovering and wasn't very strong, but I'll never forget what he said. He said, you know, he said, people said, well, what are you going to think of Comfrey? It's not going to look like you remember. And he said something like this, and I can't do the quote exact, but he said, you know, when I was down there at Mayo, he said, I closed my eyes. And when I thought of Comfrey, he said, I didn't see the hardware store or the Eat Shop or the this or the school or this or that. He said, I saw Jim and Darlene and Joanne and Bob and Mary or whoever. He saw the faces of comfort. And today, that's what I want to tell you. It's been my privilege to be here at Alexandria. I am moving in a couple of weeks back to my home state of Missouri, but when I close my eyes, I'll remember the lakes and the beautiful weather and everything up here. So when I close my eyes, I'm going to remember your faces and who you are, because you make Alexandria what it is. And as I started to say, when I came here, I came a broken woman because we had been through a very, very difficult time, my husband and I. And I needed a lot of healing. And God knew I needed to come to Alexandria to find that healing. So I want to share a song that I wrote. I'm going to kind of change it a little bit to fit my situation today. Because I'm going to call this Alexandria place God uses for healing. This place has been a place for healing, where my weary soul found peace and rest, where the burdens of this heavy heart were lifted, and this sinner's soul received forgiveness. Yes, the love of God surrounded and upheld me, and the peace has been mine every day. The light of life has surrounded me in my darkness, and the Holy Spirit has guided me on my way. So think about a place that's been a place of healing for you, and maybe I'll go on with the song, because I believe those places are like this. Here the pieces of a broken heart are mended, and the heart of stone lets go of bitterness. One whose dreams have been shattered or forgotten finds new hope that heals, fills the emptiness. And may the love of peace. heart will know no sorrow. Some blessed day our heart will know no pain. Some blessed day our tears will vanish forever and will be forever free. Some blessed day we'll all be together. Some blessed day together we'll sing God's praise. Some blessed day all darkness will vanish forever and we'll see Him face to face. Some blessed day, oh yes, some blessed day. Thank you guys, you're awesome. God bless you.
Wow. Thank you, Patsy. Thank you for your service to Alexandria and the Knute Nelson family, and just a blessing to you. Yeah. One month, we're going to have this again. So July 15th, we'll see you then. Have a great day.